Chapter 37, Public Labors in 1877. May 11, 1877, we left Oakland, California for Battle Creek, Michigan. A telegram had been sent to my husband requesting his presence at Battle Creek to give attention to important business relative to the cause. In answer to this summons, he went and engaged earnestly in preaching, writing, and holding board meetings at the review office, the college, and the sanitarium, often working into the night. This wore him fearfully. His constant mental anxiety was preparing the way for a breakdown. We both felt our danger and decided to go to Colorado to enjoy retirement and rest. While planning for the journey, a voice seemed to say to me, "Put the armor on. I have a work for you to do in Battle Creek." The voice seemed so plain that I involuntarily turned to see who was speaking. I saw no one, and at the sense of the presence of God, my heart was broken in tenderness before Him. When my husband entered the room, I told him the exercises of my mind. We wept and prayed together. Our arrangements had been made to leave in 3 days, but now all our plans were changed. Special services for college students. The close of the school year of the Battle Creek College was at hand. I had felt very anxious for the students, many of whom were either unconverted or backslidden from God. I spent a week laboring for them, holding meetings every evening and on Sabbath and first day. My heart was touched to see the house of worship nearly filled with the students of our school. I tried to impress upon them that a life of purity and prayer would not be a hindrance to them in obtaining a thorough knowledge of the sciences, but that it would remove many hindrances to their progress in knowledge. By becoming connected with the Savior, they are brought into the school of Christ, and if they are diligent students in this school, vice and immorality will be expelled from the midst of them. These being crowded out, increased knowledge will be the result. Our school is to take a higher position in an educational point of view than any other institution of learning. By opening before the young nobler views, aims, and objects in life, and educating them to have a correct knowledge of human duty and eternal interests. The great object in the establishment of our college was to give correct views concerning the harmony of science and Bible religion. The Lord strengthened me and blessed the efforts made in behalf of the youth. A large number came forward for prayers. Some of these, through lack of watchfulness and prayer, had lost their faith in the evidence of their connection with God. Many testified that in taking this step they received the blessing of God. As a result of the meetings, quite a number presented themselves for baptism. Temperance meetings. But my work was not yet done in Battle Creek. We were earnestly solicited to take part in a temperance mass meeting, a very praiseworthy effort in progress among the better portion of the citizens of Battle Creek. This movement embraced the Battle Creek Reform Club, 600 strong, and Women's Christian Temperance Union, 260 strong. God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible were familiar words with these earnest workers. Much good had already been accomplished, and the activity of the workers, the system by which they labored, and the spirit of their meetings promised greater good in time to come. It was on the occasion of the visit of Barnum's great menagerie to this city, on the 28th of June, that the ladies of the Women's Christian Temperance Union struck a telling blow for temperance and reform by organizing an immense temperance restaurant to accommodate the crowds of people who gathered in from the country to visit the menagerie, thus preventing them from visiting the saloons and groggeries where they would be exposed to temptation. The mammoth tent, capable of holding 5,000 people, used by the Michigan Conference for camp meeting purposes, was tendered for the occasion. Beneath this immense canvas temple were erected 15 or 20 tables for the accommodation of guests. By invitation, I spoke in the tent Sunday evening, July 1, upon the subject of Christian temperance, to fully 5,000 persons on the Indiana campground. August 9 to 14, I attended the camp meeting near Kokomo, Indiana, accompanied by my daughter-in-law, Mary Kay White. My husband found it impossible for him to leave Battle Creek. At this meeting, the Lord strengthened me to labor most earnestly. He gave me clearness and power to appeal to the people. As I looked upon the men and women assembled here, noble in appearance and commanding in influence, and compared them with a little company assembled 6 years before, who were mostly poor and uneducated, I could but exclaim, "What hath God wrought?" The refining influence that the truth has upon the life and character of those who receive it was exemplified very strongly here. While speaking, we asked those to arise who had been addicted to the use of tobacco, who had entirely discontinued its use because of the light they had received through the truth. In response, between 35 and 40 arose to their feet. 10 or 12 of them were women. We then invited those to rise who had been told by physicians that it would be fatal for them to stop the use of tobacco because they had become so accustomed to its false stimulus that they would not be able to live without it. In reply, 8 persons whose countenances indicated health of mind and body arose to their feet. How wonderful is the sanctifying influence which this truth has upon the human life, making staunch temperance men of those who have indulged in tobacco, wine, and other fashionable dissipation. On Sunday, Elder J.H. Wagoner spoke with great freedom in the forenoon to a good congregation on the subject of the Sabbath. 3 excursion trains poured their living freight upon the grounds. The people here were very enthusiastic on the temperance question. At 2:30 p.m., I spoke to about 8,000 people on the subject of temperance viewed from a moral and a Christian standpoint. I was blessed with remarkable clearness and liberty and was heard with the best of attention from the large audience present. We left the beaten track of the popular lecturer and traced the origin of the prevailing intemperance to the home, the family board, and the indulgence of appetite in the child. Stimulating food creates a desire for still stronger stimulants. The boy whose taste is thus vitiated and who is not taught self-control is a drunkard or tobacco slave of later years. The duty of parents was pointed out to train their children to right views of life and its responsibilities, and to lay the foundation for their upright Christian characters. The great work of temperance reform to be thoroughly successful must begin in the home. In the evening, Elder Wagoner spoke upon the signs of the times to a large and attentive audience. Many remarked that this discourse and his sermon upon the Sabbath had awakened new thoughts in their minds and that they were determined to investigate these subjects. Monday, I appealed to the people to give their hearts to God. About 50 came forward for prayers. The deepest interest was manifested. 15 were buried with Christ in baptism as a result of the meeting. Walking out by faith. We had planned to attend the Ohio and Western camp meetings, but our friends thought that, considering my state of health, it would be presumptuous, so we decided to remain at Battle Creek. Being much of the time a great sufferer, I placed myself under treatment at the sanitarium. My husband labored incessantly to advance the interest of the cause of God in the various departments of the work centering in Battle Creek. Before we were aware of it, he was very much worn. Early one morning, he was attacked with giddiness and was threatened with paralysis. We greatly feared this dreadful disease, but the Lord was merciful and spared us the affliction. However, his attack was followed by great physical and mental prostration, and now indeed it seemed impossible for us to attend the Eastern camp meetings and for me to attend them and leave my husband depressed in spirits and in feeble health. I could not, however, find rest and freedom in the thought of remaining away from the field of labor. We took the matter to the Lord in prayer. We knew that the mighty healer could restore both my husband and myself to health if it was for his glory so to do. We both decided to walk out by faith and to venture all on the promises of God. The Eastern Camp Meetings. When we arrived at the campground at Groveland, Massachusetts, we found an excellent meeting in progress. There were 47 tents on the ground besides 3 large tents, the one for the congregation being 80 by 125 feet in dimensions. The meetings on the Sabbath were of the deepest interest. The church was revived and strengthened while sinners and backsliders were aroused to a sense of their danger. Sunday morning, boats and trains poured their living freight upon the ground in thousands. Elder Smith spoke in the morning upon the Eastern question. The subject was of special interest, and the people listened with the most earnest attention. In the afternoon, it was difficult to make my way to the desk through the standing crowd. Upon reaching it, a sea of heads was before me. The mammoth tent was full, and thousands stood outside, making a living wall several feet deep. My lungs and throat pained me very much, yet I believed that God would help me upon this important occasion. The Lord gave me great freedom in addressing the immense crowd upon the subject of Christian temperance. While speaking, my weariness and pain were forgotten, as I realized that I was speaking to a people that did not regard my words as idle tales. The discourse occupied over an hour, and the very best attention was given throughout. Monday morning, we had a season of prayer in our tent in behalf of my husband. We presented his case to the great physician. It was a precious season. The peace of heaven rested upon us. These words came forcibly to my mind: "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." 1 John 5:4. We all felt the blessing of God resting upon us. We then assembled in the large tent. My husband met with us and spoke for a short time, uttering precious words from a heart softened and aglow with a deep sense of the mercy and goodness of God. We then took up the work where we had left it on the Sabbath, and the morning was spent in special labor for sinners and backsliders, of whom 200 came forward for prayers, ranging in years from the child of 10 to gray-headed men and women. More than a score of these were setting their feet in the way of life for the first time. In the afternoon, 38 persons were baptized, and quite a number delayed baptism till they should return to their homes. Monday evening, I stood in the stand at a tent meeting in progress at Danvers, Massachusetts. A large congregation was before me. I was too weary to arrange my thoughts in connected words. I felt that I must have help, and asked for it with my whole heart. I knew if any degree of success attended my labors, it would be through the strength of the Mighty One. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon me as I attempted to speak. Like a shock of electricity, I felt it upon my heart, and all pain was instantly removed. I had suffered great pain in the nerves centering in the brain. This also was entirely removed. My irritated throat and sore lungs were relieved. My left arm and hand had become nearly useless in consequence of pain in my heart, but natural feeling was now restored. My mind was clear. My soul was full of the light and love of God. Angels of God seemed to be on every side like a wall of fire. Before me were a people whom I might not meet again until the judgment, and the desire for their salvation led me to speak earnestly in the fear of God that I might be free from their blood. Great freedom attended my effort, which occupied 1 hour and 10 minutes. Jesus was my helper, and His name shall have all the glory. The audience was very attentive. We returned to Groveland on Tuesday to find the camp breaking up, tents being struck, our brethren saying farewell, and ready to step on board the cars to return to their homes. This was one of the best camp meetings I ever attended. In the afternoon, Elder Haskell took us in his carriage and we started for South Lancaster to rest at his home for a time. We decided to travel by private conveyance a part of the way to the Vermont camp meeting, as we thought this would be beneficial to my husband. At noon, we would stop by the roadside, kindle a fire, prepare our lunch, and have a season of prayer. These precious hours spent in company with Brother and Sister Haskell, Sister Ings, and Sister Huntley will never be forgotten. Our prayers went up to God all the way from South Lancaster to Vermont. After traveling 3 days, we took the cars and thus completed our journey. This meeting was of special benefit to the cause in Vermont. The Lord gave me strength to speak to the people as often as once each day. We went directly from Vermont to the New York camp meeting. The Lord gave me freedom in speaking to the people, but some were not prepared to be benefited by the meeting. They failed to realize their condition and did not seek the Lord earnestly, confessing their backslidings and putting away their sins. One of the great objects of holding camp meetings is that our brethren may feel their danger of being overcharged with the cares of this life. A great loss is sustained when these privileges are not improved. Return to Michigan and California. We returned to Michigan and after a few days went to Lansing to attend the camp meeting there, which continued 2 weeks. Here I labored very earnestly and was sustained by the Spirit of the Lord. I was greatly blessed in speaking to the students and in laboring for their salvation. This was a remarkable meeting. The Spirit of God was present from the beginning to the close. As a result of the meeting, 130 were baptized. A large part of these were students from our college. We were rejoiced to see the salvation of God in this meeting. After spending a few weeks in Battle Creek, we decided to cross the plains to California.